podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio. Hogan
Johns. We will be perfect in every aspect of the game.
Obsession. Being obsessed. Anything that you do, if there's an obsession with it, you realize that obsession. Good things come from that.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
Let loose and just have some fun as you go about winning.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
Hot Rod! Red 7! Hot Rod!
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
There's a different vibe around the building.
Obsession.
Everyone's just coming to work every day excited.
Being obsessed.
And that's what it's all about.
And now,
what time is it?
Here they are.
Perfection.
Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in. Episode 194, a busy, busy week, a short week. And we're taking one of the, what's the official number on hours between games? 88?
86? 86 has been a number.
Everybody's
talking about.
Yeah, everyone's using different numbers. Well, whatever the number is, we're taking one of those hours right now for you.
Hour, oh God, what would it be? 52.
Something like
I
that.
I don't know.
Well, we are less than 48 hours. Well, I mean, way less than 48 hours to kick off at this point.
Yes.
Closer to 36 as we record for you on Tuesday evening. Basically, the entire week was condensed into one day at House Hall. Today, Tuesday, a lot happened. A lot has happened since we last talked to you after one of the biggest Bears victories in a long, long time. Quite the buzzkill, Adam Johns.
Are you calling me a buzzkill?
No, I'm just saying
it's such.
No, not you. I mean, could you? No. Can you have a bigger buzzkill than Mitch Trubisky suffering an injury?
Yeah, no. Maybe Khalil Mack again. That'd be the only thing I could use in comparison, but. Yeah, it stinks. The best part about it is, Adam, I don't think it's serious. It doesn't sound serious. I don't know how you feel about it. I never got that vibe at House Hall today, especially with Matt Nagy saying he doesn't need surgery, but definitely not good, especially in a short week.
Well, we have a lot to get to from today. Plenty of reaction to Trubisky's injury, what Matt Nagy had to say about it. Got your voicemails, got a preview of a game. Got plenty to get to here, and we'll dive right into it. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Our producer is Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe. Because of the timing of this and everything and how we're recording, he's actually not with us live tonight. We do have his picks for you later as we get to our pick segment, and we're actually only going to be picking the Thanksgiving games just because, quite frankly, it's still Tuesday, and we've been busy, and I couldn't even tell you who's playing other games this weekend at this point. So
I just hope our friend Joey Jojo is getting some rest at this time. He's probably sleeping right now like a baby.
Well, he should be because he works the morning show, the Steve Cochran show, and I think he wakes up at like 2:30 in the morning, and we're recording this at 9. So I'm hoping he's asleep right now too. You can read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please rate and review the podcast. Search for it, Hogan Johns. Wherever you listen to your podcast, it is there. And this episode is brought to you by Jerry Haggerty Chevrolet in Glen Ellen. For value and integrity, it has to be Haggerty. JerryHaggertyChevrolet.com. Go see them in Glen Ellen, and if you do, make sure you tell them that Hogue and Johns sent you. And I also want to quickly mention, too, the charity that I've been working with all month long. It's 22Q Awareness Month, which is the genetic disorder that my son was born with. And we've been trying to raise money all month long and raise awareness for 22Q. So it's very nice. I had somebody reach out to me. One of our listeners, Johnsy, reached out to me via Twitter a couple days ago, just complimenting us on the podcast and also asking where he could make a donation. So for those of you that are wondering that, you can do one of two things. You go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Adam Hogue, and donate directly on there. You might have to scroll through a couple posts to find the last one on the 22Q Family Foundation that I posted, but there is a donate button right there. Or it's probably easier just to go to 22QFamilyFoundation.org, 22QFamilyFoundation.org. The money goes towards programs, educational programs for children suffering from 22Q and their families as well. It's very important stuff because these kids, many of them have learning disabilities and need extra support. So thank you to everyone that has donated this month and just even if you don't donate, and everything helps, but you can also, since we're just trying to raise awareness, go to the website 22qfamilyfoundation.org and read about it. There's a button right at the top that says "What is 22q?" Most people don't know. I could do a whole podcast on it. We're not going to do that right now, but there is a great FAQ on the website that you could check out. So I appreciate you doing that if you can, as we are running out of days in the month of November all of a sudden. It's Thanksgiving already, which is crazy. And I was just thinking, John Z, how fast the season is going by.
well, Adam, first, I just want to commend you on the raising awareness. You should get Quiville involved again. I hear he's free these days.
Yes.
Not doing shot skis in this Soldier Field parking lot, but just a wonderful thing you're doing. Obviously, it's very close to you. But yes, to your point, I felt like last season, Adam, how many times did we fire John Fox? Five, six, maybe seven. But this was like the firing point. At this point in last season, it was over. It was awful football. Even with Trubisky playing, it was monotonous in a sense, right? Didn't make much sense. It was just bad to watch, bad to cover. This feels different. That's why it's going faster, my friend.
Yeah, it does. And you know, just thinking about the enormous win on Sunday night against the Vikings, and kind of putting it into perspective, historically, I mean, really the biggest win that the Bears have had since the last time they were in the playoffs to get to the NFC Championship game. And given where this franchise has been, I mean, you can almost make an argument that it's even bigger. Certainly the biggest regular season win they've had in a really long time. Monday, I don't know how you felt, but I happened to be in my car a lot on Monday. I had a ton of errands to run, trying to work ahead in what has been a crazy busy week. And really, it's only been 48 hours since the Bears last played, now that I think about it. But the reaction all over the radio, the newspapers, everywhere, that was the most optimistic Bears Monday I can remember in forever. I mean, really.
It's been so long, my friend.
It was, everybody was just basking in the glow of this enormous win, and they deserved it. Everyone deserved it. It was just driving around and listening to all the stations I listened to, WGN, the sports stations, everything. It was insane.
I feel like there's still a level of surprise that so many folks did just not see this coming. I mean, you and I, we're kind of optimistic going into this year. I picked them 9-7. I got several podcast episodes ago. You outlined their path to 10-6. So, not to pat ourselves in the back, but we were optimistic in terms of what was developing, keeping things in important perspective and looking ahead at the schedule and how other seasons were playing out for other teams. But yeah, to your point, look, there was some optimism about the Mark Trestman era. I think at this point, people were very high in what he was doing for Jay Cutler. Everything was good for Jay Cutler. He had Brandon Marshall being a good teammate. He had Martellus Bennett being a good teammate. He had a lot of good things happening, but it still feels different than that. It feels a lot different from that because you got a lot of young players with a young coach kind of, I don't want to say coming into their own, because I don't think Mr. Trubisky is doing that quite yet, but it gives you a different vibe, a different sense of optimism, not only for this year, but next year and beyond.
Well, before we get to the major buzzkill, which we do have to talk about, we had our own optimistic Bears Monday. This really, most of it was on Sunday as the game was unfolding and afterward, because you guys left your voicemails at 312-222-5050. And even though it's been a short week and our guy Joey Joe Rowe is busy too, he still took all your voicemails and put them together for us. Really, this sounds like more like a celebration of a huge Bears victory, and that's exactly what it is. So let's listen to these voicemails.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The Hogan John's voicemail.
The Hogan John's voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Micah from Colorado. Gotta really love the way Mitch bounced back after that interception. That's some big boy stuff right there.
Hugo from Indianapolis here. Offensive football turns out is interesting and different. I like it. Also, Lombardi.
Yeah. Mr. Anderson calling from Philly. First half domination. The Eminem show. Mitch and Mac, baby. Mitch and Mac. Bear down.
Mike from Chicago. Cody Parker goes for the field goal. And breaking news, no doink! No doink!
Bob the Bouncy here calling from the chopper above Soldier's Field. I just saw the Grizzly Giants catch a 2-point conversion after a slick Eddie Jackson touchdown return. Baby, this is the Bears season. There ain't no doubt about it. Let's get it done. This is the next stop for stop here, not stop Super Bowl. Let's do it, Bears Super Bowl.
TJ from Downers Grove. Akeem Hicks is an actual Bear. That's all I have to say. Bear down.
Drew Conan from Madison, Wisconsin. Bears win, Packers lose, and none of these cheeseheads can say shit to me for the rest of the week. Bear down.
Saran from Phoenix, Arizona. I mean, with the Bears' defense playing so well, I don't understand why nobody is talking about Vic Fangio being somebody for the Cleveland job or maybe for the Dallas job when that comes open.
Mike from Chicago. Will we re-sign Amos and Callahan in the offseason? It'll be great to have them back. They're balling out this year.
Big Easy from Brooklyn is a four-headed monster right now. Ryan Pace, Matt Nagy, the offense, that defense. Let's get it, baby. That's what it is right now. Let's go, Chicago. Let's go.
Todd from Southern California. Woo! Kings in the North, baby.
Cheese from Bucktown. I got a little inside scoop for you boys. Nagy's running for mayor because everything he does, he wins. Bear down.
Sean from Elk Grove, California, home of Lance Briggs. Mitch is my guy. I think if we could play like this and allow him to get better while winning like we are, sky's the limit. Go Bears.
Hey, Jordan from Canada. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Let's go beat the f*** out the Lions.
This is Luke from Decatur, Illinois, original home of the Chicago Bears. All I got to say is the Bears are rolling, the beers are flowing, and we're the best team in the NFC North. Bear down.
All right, so apparently Bob Dabrowski now has a helicopter, Johnsy.
What he does to live the lifestyle that he does going from game to game to game. He must have a helicopter. That's the only way it makes sense that he's able to go to all these games all over the country.
I mean, it all makes sense now. It all makes sense. And I do have to give a shout out to Drew and Madison, who called in too, and all the, you know, mentioned all the Packer fans that he has to deal with in Madison, Wisconsin. Buddy, I can relate. I can relate because I lived with seven of them in a house in Madison. And I would have to walk down the street to Jordan's Big Ten pub to be able to watch a Bears game when the Packers were playing at the same time. That was the only way to do it. And I'd walk by myself down the street, and Jordan's Big Ten pub would have a room for the Vikings fans, a room for Bears fans, and then most of the bar dedicated to the Packers fans, which credit to them. They had all three rooms packed every single week. It was kind of a cool thing they did. But I can relate to Drew and Madison.
I can also relate. I went to St. Norbert.
That's right.
Which is in De Pere, Wisconsin. That's where the Green Bay Packers actually have training camp. They actually live in the dorms that we lived in up at SNC. We always tried to find the air conditioning units that they had there stored away. Never could find them, the ones that the Packers used. But, look, I have all sorts of stories, being a Chicago kid living in De Pere, Wisconsin. One of my favorite – let me get this one in, Adam.
Sure.
Is that – well, for starters, I saw the Bears only one time in my 4 years in college. I think it was the last game, too. That's when they started the Lovie Smith era finally got the best of Brett Favre in that case. But a bunch of Chicago guys, I was one of them. We had a house up there, and we put this giant Bears inflatable helmet like on top of the porch, right?
Ooh.
And this was like on the main street of school, right? So you'd have a lot of commuters coming and going, not just from the school, but all throughout Green Bay and De Pere, right? So many people would call the police complaining about it, right? Like, every day, this giant Bears helmet is on top of this porch in De Pere, Wisconsin. It was an eyesore for these Packers fans. So they called the police. The police came to the house. Hey, guys, do you mind taking that down? No, we're not taking it down. They left it up there. My buddies left it up there. It eventually went missing, right? So some bold Packers fan in the middle of the night climbed up upon that porch, that porch roof, and took that giant inflatable helmet. We don't know what happened to it. You know, it was probably disregarded, thrown in the Fox River. But that's how territorial Packers fans can get about their football team.
Quite frankly, you're lucky that more didn't happen to that house.
Well, you know, that house that my buddies lived in, you know, some good Northwest Chicago guys, you know, wasn't exactly, you know, the Ritz-Carlton, Adam.
Yeah, I
so
bet.
A lot worse things probably happened in that house.
Just asking.
The Paris helmet outside it.
Yeah, just asking for trouble, though, for sure.
Yes, yes.
All right, so as a Monday is unfolding and I'm listening, you know, trying to soak in as much information and reaction as I can, maximize every minute. What did Matt Nagy say this week? Work smarter, not harder this week. I've taken that to heart. I don't know if you have. I like that idea. Work smarter, not harder. Usually on a Tuesday night, I'd be well into the film of Sunday's game. I haven't even gotten to it yet because I figure I can do that early next week because there'll be no game to react
to. If Matt Nagy's not watching, and Adam Hogue does not have to watch
exactly.
It, what the heck? Yeah.
Exactly. I'll get to it early next week, or this weekend or something after the Northwestern game.
Nah, you're not. No, you're not.
I will.
No, you're not. If you do, my friend, you have problems. But go on.
Well, we know that for sure. So,
no.
Yeah. John Fox ain't watching the tape either. Okay, anyway, one of the many things I was listening to, speaking of buzzkills, was the podcast of Hamp, OB, and Kaz from Sunday. Those guys can, you know, look, they're coming around. I think they're finally coming around on this team and giving them the credit they deserve. But they could still be negative about some things, and we've had our disagreements. But there was something they said as I'm listening to the full podcast of their show Sunday night after the Bears' victory that I 100% agreed with. Johnsy, totally agreed with. It certainly had a negative spin to it, but I couldn't help but agree with it. So, full context, this is before we knew anything was wrong with Mitch Trubisky, and I'm driving around on Monday, and I heard this.
I spent a long time trying to put quarterbacks out of commission. The more he keeps this mindless running, it's going to happen. I'm just telling you. It's not, you know, if it's going to, it's when. And Alex Smith got his leg broke today. I'm just saying. I don't like, you know, and, you know, Collinsworth is going, oh, yeah, Nagy goes, oh, I don't mind him running. You better mind it because guess what? You think he's going to get better when he's got a cast on his leg?
It's inevitable. Yep. It's inevitable. If he keeps on doing it, he'll get cranked pretty good.
Hamp and OB.
And cranked.
and look, John, they said this, and I'm in the car, and I'm like, you know what? They're right. I mean, I don't know that's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know that's going to happen this season or 3 years from now. And I'm not even criticizing Mitch for his running. I think that's wrong. That's part of his arsenal. That's why he's so dangerous. I think it's a benefit to the passing game that he can always tuck the ball and kill you that way with his legs. But the reality of the situation is, no matter how much they protect these quarterbacks, there's still going to be one of these moments where he slides late or a defender just gets so frustrated, he doesn't care, and he takes the penalty, and he hits him. And when you get hit, you're going to get hurt eventually, whether it's a minor injury or it's a major injury. And sure enough, about 30 minutes later, the injury report comes out, and Mitch Trubisky is on the injury report with a shoulder, and it's because of the hit he absorbed from Harrison Smith late in the game, and it's his throwing shoulder, and it's concerning.
It's not mindless running, though. I'm taking.
Yeah, that's wrong. Okay, that's fine.
With the word mindless, though. Well, one, okay.
I'll agree with you on that. That's taking it too far. But the idea that he was going to get hurt eventually, I was agreeing with.
Here's the thing. Look. When Aaron Rodgers got hurt in week one against the Bears, where was that? Is in the pocket.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was just him getting, you know, the offensive line not being able to block.
Yeah, Alex Smith. Was that a scramble? I don't believe it was.
Honestly, I haven't seen it, and I don't want to see it. So I don't. I refuse to watch it. I don't know.
I know J.J. Watt was involved, so I'm guessing it was a sack. Look, did you see Jared Goff get crunched by three Rams? That was not on a scramble. That was in the backfield.
Yeah, and right? I was worried when that happened, too, last night.
See, I get that there's a point. Like, RG3, Robert Griffin III, that was mindless running several years ago. That was mindless running. That was having no regard for your body, playing like you're a teenager again in high school, thinking you're invincible. Like, Carson Wentz had some runs like that last year. I don't think Mitch Trubisky did that against the Vikings. He's had some where he's taken some unnecessary hits. I get that. There's no denying that, right? But I don't think it's mindless. I still think football is a violent game. He could get hit and hurt anywhere on the field, whether he's hanging in the pocket and taken out from below, or he's scrambling and, you know, gets shoved out of bounds, which we've seen before in a violent fashion. I get it. I get the questions about Mitch Trubisky's sliding ability. I do. But look, it's still football at the end of the day, and he's going to get hit.
Well, and you're right. And over the course of an entire quarterback's career, you're usually going to miss games. I mean, there's I don't know. Can anyone think of any? I guess I could have done some research on this, but has any quarterback gone 10 years without missing a game? Aaron Rodgers has missed games. Tom Brady has missed games.
Well, didn't Eli Manning had an impressive run, did he not?
Yeah, I think he did.
Peyton Manning had an impressive run, and then he broke his neck for you know, all intents and purposes.
Yep.
I mean, they get hurt.
Well, but and so here's the thing. I'm not among these people who are saying Mitch should run less. I want to make that clear. This was more about just kind of how my Monday played out, because it was just so – it was like foreshadowing, even though I was listening to something that was 24 hours old at that – or almost 24 hours old at that point, where it's just like this – you know, complaining about the running, the idea could get hurt, and then sure enough, it comes out that he did get hurt in this game. So let me ask you this, Johnsy. We talk about the pain scale, you know, and when you're dealing with pain and you're in the hospital, the doctor says from 0 to 10, what's your level of pain? Let me flip that a little bit. What's your concern level from 0 to 10 on this Mitch Trubisky injury? And I'm not necessarily just talking about Thursday's game, but just in general, how concerned are you about this shoulder injury?
Oh, 2 or 3. He stayed in the game when he had that throwaway to Tariq Cohen. And I saw it as a throwaway at the game. I saw it as a throwaway on film. And Matt Nagy kind of confirmed that was a throwaway on Trubisky's only pass attempt post Harrison Smith hit on him, post getting his shoulder jammed all up, and whatever happened to damage it. I don't know the exact, but look, I'm not that concerned, because Matt Nagy, for all intents and purposes, has been very forthright in saying, look, there's no surgery coming. When he compared it to the Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack situation, it kind of told me, or at least tipped me off in my mind, that he's going to miss some time. Maybe one game. Like, if this is a typical game week at him, I think Mitch Trubisky might actually play, to be honest with you. But since it's not, and he's only got 3 full days to recover and get some treatment, then it makes no sense to play him. Don't risk further damage, especially since you know he's going to have some mindless runs, if you want to use that description.
Well, here, first and foremost, let's hear what Matt Nagy had to say about this today. First time he's talked about it, because I don't necessarily know when they – Nagy kind of hinted today that he didn't even know about it until Mitch came in yesterday. Which,
I mean, that tells me it's like if your quarterback isn't – you know, maybe he just woke up sore.
Right.
On Monday, right?
You believe that. I don't know that I do, that they didn't know until yesterday. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But that is a possibility, that he just woke up sore, that he didn't think it was that big of a deal when it happened.
Yeah, I mean, for sure he knew he was dinged up. I mean, we all saw it on the field. We all saw him, you know, favor his right arm. We all saw Jordan Howard pick him up by his left hand. We saw all the signals of a possible injury. So obviously he was aware something happened, but maybe he didn't realize how serious it was until Trubisky woke up sore and reported for duty at Hallis Hall.
Well, here's everything Nagy had to say, at least the majority of it, at the beginning of his press conference earlier this afternoon at Hallis Hall.
Yesterday, we did not have practice. If we would have had practice, then Mitch would not have practiced. And so he has a right shoulder that we're dealing with right now, and it's something that is going to be day to day for us. And like I said, we did in practice, and if we did, then he wouldn't have practiced yesterday. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be out there today practicing. And I think for us, the biggest thing right now is that this, to me, is going to be similar, cautiously being the same way as what we were with Khalil and with Allen on a day-to-day, just trying to figure out exactly where he's at, how he feels, and what's best for him and the team.
What is he telling you about what's restricting him and what's the pain that he's experiencing?
Well, he's just, we don't get into a whole lot about that. I mean, he's in pain, which is normal. But for us, this has been a short, day and a half here for us. So the communication on that end, he's been dealing with Andre and the training staff, and for us, we've been super busy trying to game plan as well.
Coach, when did the injury come up?
It happened at the end of the game there on the late hit by Harrison.
Now, was there a sense for whether he's going to play?
What's my sense?
I'm
saying cautiously optimistic, but I can't make any promises. I hope he does, but it's at a day to day thing for us. Like I said, it's literally he wants to play. I know that, and for us, but we gotta make sure in these situations that we're doing the right thing. So that is why, regardless of whatever decision is made or wherever we're at on game day. I think this goes back to with Ryan and his guys making sure that throughout this roster we have depth and we feel comfortable. And so if it's something where Chase ends up playing, then that's the way it goes, and we keep moving forward.
Man, how much does it affect your decision-making on this, that it's a short turnaround here and you get kind of a mini-bye after that?
Well, that's just part of where we're at right now. The fact that you don't have more time can affect it a little bit, but again, every injury is a little bit different. So I'm just going to rely on our training staff and then on Mitch.
Matt, what kind of testing has Mitch had, and what has come back on that?
Yeah, no, he's. I'm not. So you guys, I'm sure you guys can understand. I'm not going to get into the actual details of everything with his shoulder. We've done our testing on it, and we know exactly where he's at, but. Out of respect to us and the player and where we're at, I'm not going to get into the details of it.
Is there any long term concern?
No. For us, I mean, we're at a point right now where we're going through all that literally on a day to day type deal, but we feel very confident. It's not
through one pass after the hit by Harrison. It was kind of a throwaway to Tariq Cohen. Could you tell? Was that just a throwaway? Was he impacted by the shoulder?
No, I think it was just a throwaway.
Now, when did you? I mean, did you know yesterday that it was the type of injury that would impact him practice-wise?
No, I didn't. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. I didn't hear about it until the afternoon, until later on. So I talked to you guys, and then later on in the day was when we got some of the news as far as where he's at.
Is it something where you might need to
say that again? Yeah. 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 Yep.
Is it something where you might need to elevate Tyler to the active squad, regardless?
Again, we'll go through all that and figure out which way we want to go with that.
Could he need surgery?
Yeah. No.
You mentioned moves that Ryan made in the offseason. Chase Daniel, what gives you most faith in him? What do you like most about
him? I know that Chase. This is one of the reasons why he's here. If we get in a situation like this where we have to make a decision one way or the other, this is why you have a guy like Chase. You feel very comfortable with him. Chase understands. He's been in this. He's our oldest guy on the team, and so he's got experience. Chase and I have a relationship and a coach-player relationship going back to 3 years in Kansas City. I know Chase inside out. He knows me inside out. So it's if that's a route we go, like I said, we keep plugging away, and that's a part of football. If not, then it's nice to know that we have Chase.
So, Johns, I think the headlines there are I think you can take him at his word that this is not a long-term injury. And, well, I don't know about surgery. That depends on the damage. Sometimes you do find out later that a guy has surgery after, you know, some minor shoulder thing that he was dealing with during the season. So I don't know about that part. But I do not think that this is a long-term injury that's going to impact this season. But it seems like it's 50-50 for Thursday. And just taking in other information that was out there today, Adam Schefter reported that the Bears are optimistic that Mitch will play Thursday. Schefter's usually correct, right? I mean, his reporting rate is pretty high.
Condoleezza Rice reporting that withstanding.
Yeah, I know. I still don't know what that was.
I'm just kidding. Well, I actually don't doubt that reporting whatsoever. You don't go with something that bold and that, quite frankly, outrageous unless you have an impeccable source. But I'm getting away
weird.
From the point.
Well, it was still bizarre.
Yes.
Usually, though, when Schefter reports a guy is playing or not playing or there's optimism that he's going to play, he's usually right. You know, these reports come out every single week for fantasy purposes, and he's usually right. Now, on the other hand, another source on Twitter and somebody I've gotten to know a little bit, Dr. David Chow at Pro Football Doc on Twitter, he had a different opinion. Now, he's not reporting. He's not claiming to have any sources inside Hallis Hall. All he does is look at the video and it very impressively usually is able to diagnose these things just off of video. Makes it very clear he's not the guy's doctor. He hasn't examined the patient, but he does look at the video, and more times than not, he is right. And his reporting today, based on the video, had me a little bit more concerned. Based on, you know, it was kind of thrown out there earlier in the day, John said it could just be an AC joint sprain. That's usually not something that affects the throwing, but Pro Football Doc did not think it's AC joint. He said that it could be stretching of the capsule/labrum or pinching/bruising of the rotator cuff. Now, as somebody who dabbles in some baseball coverage too, throwing issues, when you hear the words labrum and rotator cuff, usually not words I like to hear, okay? So that had me a little bit more concerned that this is something that could actually impact his throwing of the football. And he also said that he thinks it's doubtful that Trubisky will play this week. So that's much different than what Schefter was saying earlier in the day.
Yeah, we should still make it clear that your buddy Dr. Chow did not evaluate Mitch Trubisky. And yes, he does have he has been wrong.
He's been wrong
on some as well.
He including Anthony Miller earlier in the year. I mean, his opinion was that it was going to be hard for Miller to. He thought it was going to be a season long issue. We've seen otherwise. It's still possible Anthony Miller will need surgery in the off season, but he's been able to play through that.
Yeah, and he's been outstanding really since then. Right. If you believe it. That was the Cardinals game, was it not? So, correct. Yes, look, no one has the exact information other than the Bears. To me, I would take the safer than sorry approach. Obviously, something is bothering Mr. Trubisky. No reason to rush him back in a game that you should be competitive in without him. You get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. The Lions, yeah, they beat the Panthers at home, but they got a short week too. They're missing a starting wide receiver. They're missing their starting running back. You can still get after Matthew Stafford with Khalil Mack. You know, yes, Mitchell Trubisky gives you a huge advantage, especially after what he did to him a couple weeks ago, but you can try to win without him, just like the Bears tried to win and did win without Allen Robinson and Khalil Mack against the Jets and Bills. It's not going to be any – it's going to be more difficult. This is your quarterback we're talking about, but it's definitely possible. I personally, and I wrote about this in the Chicago Sun-Times, I think the prudent choice here, the prudent decision, I should say, is sitting Mitch Trubisky.
I agree. I just think that to me, though, here's the question. Can throwing the football do more damage? Right? I mean, if we're talking about things like a rotator cuff, you know, you hear stories about pitchers trying to throw through that stuff and then doing more damage. I think that's the big question here, because I think there is an argument to be made that if he can't do more damage, or at least their medical opinion is that this is just a pain tolerance thing and he can't do more damage, and they think he can be accurate enough by, you know, numbing that pain in the way that football tends to do on game day, then this game matters more than the next game against the Giants, and you have, because it's a divisional game, and you have a week and a half to rest even before that game, and if you were to hold them out of that next game, then we're talking about a lot of time to rest before the Rams game. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, look, if that's the case, that if he can further damage his arm, his throwing shoulder by throwing the football,
mm-hmm.
then you need to opt for surgery or do whatever you can to remedy the situation, because then that's not a minor injury. That is serious in my book, right? When a quarterback can do damage to his arm, you know, doing his, basically what he's employed to do in throwing the football, then you have a serious problem. I don't get that sense, though, Adam. I really don't. It's just not the vibe that I got coming from anyone at Hall. So even seeing Mitch Trubisky at practice for a little bit today, I didn't get that sense.
Well, and he immediately was, what would you call it, smiling or winking? Not winking, but kind of smiling. He got caught on camera right after it happened. And it wasn't a look of, I'm concerned.
Right. Like, you would know.
Yeah.
You would know if something serious happened. And yes, adrenaline's running high, but look, if that's the case, then the Bears are in big trouble. You know, we should all knock on wood here, in a sense. Anybody who's listening, knock on some wood, but I don't think it's going to be the case. I did not get that sense whatsoever from Hal Solomon.
Well, just for the record, and again, what Pro Football Doc wrote today is not necessarily the real diagnosis. It's his opinion off the video, not examining Trubisky, so that we cannot emphasize that enough, but I do value his opinion, because there's not that many doctors out there analyzing these injuries, and he does tend to you know, at least be in the ballpark of this stuff more times than not. So I will share this. I followed up by texting him if throwing a football, based on what he said with mentioning the rotator cuff and the labrum, could he do more damage by throwing the football? And his response was, it depends on what the actual symptoms are. So look, it's an unknown, and I don't want to make too big of a deal out of it. But what I will say, Johns, is answering that question I asked you a few minutes ago, level of concern, I think I'm more like a 5. You said 2 or 3. I'm more like a 5 here. And I think part of that is just the position and the person. I mean, this season has always been about Mitch Trubisky. That hasn't changed. And by the way, if they want to hang with the likes of the Saints and the Rams or the Chiefs in a playoff game, they need Mitch Trubisky to still get a lot better by the time that they play those games in January. So him missing time doesn't help that.
I get that, Adam. I hear you. You need Trubisky to continue to develop. I'm standing by my 3 in this case. I think you could gamble on him, I'm sitting him this week. You could go with Chase Daniel against the Lions, who may be shorthanded and banged up themselves. And hold on.
Oh, man.
Man.
Johnsy dying on us in a short week.
Oh, man. Been a long day, my friend. You can keep that in the show. That's good. I want people to be concerned about my health. Yeah, me and Trubisky are in the same boat. Both day to day here, Adam. Look, his development is everything, but you don't want to rush him back and ruin that development by further damaging that shoulder. So, again, Adam,
yeah,
sit the guy against the Lions. Go Chase Daniel. I think you could beat the Lions without him.
Okay, well, speaking of Chase Daniel, let's get into that part of the conversation. And the question then can be, how confident are you in Chase Daniel delivering a win? Let me say this. Controversy back in August about them sitting the starters against the Chiefs in the preseason game, what was kind of lost in that, and I know it's a preseason game, so you still have to take it with a grain of salt, but the Bears came out with their backups and were beating the Chiefs.
Starters. The one thing about that, though, you know, like, I remember thinking when that game ended, I'm like, wow, I think the Chiefs should be really concerned about what's going on here with Patrick Mahomes.
Right?
Because he did not look good at all, especially early on.
Well, their defense looked terrible in that game.
Yeah. And they're actually, Adam, their defense might actually be very terrible. Just throwing it out there in terms of Super Bowl contenders. I don't think the Chiefs or the Rams really have special defenses whatsoever. You can't have guys falling down and getting lost in coverage on a primetime game like that. I still like some defense, just getting off on a tangent here. But yeah, Chase Daniel was good in that game.
He was beating the Chiefs. I'm trying to go back to the box score right now. They were up 24-10 at halftime on the Chiefs. And I get it. It's a preseason game. Chase Daniel was 15-for-18 in that game, 198 yards and two touchdowns. I believe one of those was that 29-yard TD pass to Kevin White. If you remember that, that'll probably end up going down as Kevin White's the highlight of Kevin White's Bears career.
Kevin who? Who?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I guess that's the other side of it, that we're talking about players that don't really play for the Bears. But, you know, Chase Daniel looked pretty good, and he was facing the Chiefs starters. Even if that defense isn't good, neither is the Lions. We saw Trubisky light up that defense a couple weeks ago. I guess the point is, I think Chase Daniel can do – this reminds me more of Brian Hoyer filling in for Jay Cutler – then what would be a different example? Caleb Haney filling in for Jay Cutler.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. Absolutely. Someone on my Twitter feed actually mentioned Caleb Haney in referencing the situation. I don't get it whatsoever. Brian Hoyer definitely is the comparison to go with here. He should be able to move the ball. There's no reason why Chase Daniel should not be able to move the ball. You still have a lot of weapons around you. You still have a porous Lions defense to pick apart. Look, pound the ball with Jordan Howard. Have some play action plays. Have some quick screens to Taylor Gabriel and Tariq Cohen. You can get the ball down the field. Take a couple shots with Allen Robinson. Heck, get Kevin White back in the active lineup and go deep with him. You can move the ball against this Lions defense. And I get that they're coming off a better game against Cam Newton. But I just think in terms of the weaponry that this Bears offense has and the play calling for Matt Nagy, look, Chase Daniel should be good enough to beat the Lions, just like Mitch Trubisky just had to be good enough for the Bears to beat the Vikings on primetime television.
Now, there is a little bit of an unknown, let's be honest. I mean, the guy started 2 games in 10 years. He's thrown 78 passes in his NFL career, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. So, you know, it is a very, 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 very small sample size. What's encouraging is he knows this offense. The biggest reason why he was brought to Chicago was because he knows Matt Nagy's system. He knows this offense, and he could help Mitch Trubisky first and foremost. I love how Chase Daniel even admits that, and he understands that. And then his second job is to be ready if Trubisky goes down. This is exactly what he said to us today. Might as well play that right now because since he is not a guy we hear from a lot, our listeners are probably wondering what Chase Daniel can do Thursday. Some of them maybe haven't even heard from this guy at all in his entire career. Here is Chase Daniel today at Halas Hall, and I think you'll like his confidence as he talks about this situation this week.
Obviously, it was to get the starter ready to do whatever he needs to do, and number two was to be ready when your number's called, if it's called. So, you know, this week is a little bit different just because it's a short week, but I really haven't changed the way I've prepared. I prepare like a starter every week, so for me, it's just another game.
How much does the familiarity with situation?
Yeah, a lot. You know, Nags and I go way back. He was my position coach for 3 years in Kansas City, obviously, and we stayed close for my time away in Kansas City. And, we have a great relationship. So if it comes to that, you know, we trust each other pretty well. So we know what each other likes, and I think we would just roll.
What are the challenges of preparing?
It's difficult today because it is a walkthrough. I mean, or are you going to do anything off to the side? Or
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to happen here. So, like I said, I'll just... do whatever's asked of me. If I have to take reps today, and you know, we'll find out here pretty soon if I'm rolling or if Mitch is rolling, and we'll go from there.
What do you remember about the finale in 2014 in terms of the timeline of when you knew you were starting and how that game went?
Yeah, I think that was the spleen game with Alex. Long time ago. So I think that I got called by Andy Reid on Thursday night late. So really that week I only got a red zone practice on Friday and a walkthrough on Saturday. So it's similar timeline. Yeah, if that were to be the case, I could see that for sure.
Remember about the game itself? Obviously, you got to win that day.
Yeah, we got started off really well. Obviously, we needed to win to get in and need some help, and we had a couple things not go our way, but it was able to get a win at home, so it was good.
Even if you're running the practice squad offense, going against the Bears' number one defense, will that make you prepared if you do go Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, we have the best defense in the league. I mean, I see it every day in practice. You see Khalil rushing full speed. You got, our back end like that, the linebackers. I mean, it's something that, if I were to play, I think it's for sure prepared me. I'm going against the best defense in the league in practice every single day. So,
Chase, obviously the starting quarterback gets the reps week to week in the NFL. Have you gotten any tempo reps with this offense this season, and how many if you could share?
No, I haven't gotten any, but it's the same offense that I was in for 5 years, so for me, and it's mostly the same plays. We got some tweaks here and there, obviously different personnel, but I mean, I know the offense like the back of my hand, right? It's the fifth or sixth year going on in the league in this offense, so there's a very good comfort level there, so I don't see that being an issue at all.
Pretty successful in the preseason. What were you able to do in this offense?
This offense is all based around our playmakers, right? It's based around the quarterback, but it's based about the quarterback getting the ball to the playmakers in open space and open field and letting them make plays. So that's what we try to do every single week. We try to find matchups that we can take advantage of week in and week out, obviously run the football, and play action screen game as well. So I think we're pretty balanced right now. We need to get a little better against the Lions. We didn't run the ball very well last game, and that's always a big emphasis for us is always improving the run game in this offense. The run sets up the pass. It's not the pass sets up the run. Obviously, it can be a little different week to week, but that's where we are.
Is it challenging as
the Lions aren't prepared for you?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that, whoever starts, I don't think there's much of a difference. Obviously, Mitch is a little bit quicker than I am and is leading the league in rushing as quarterback. But I can move a little bit, too. So, we'll just see what the game plan is and go from there.
Is there a challenge going from being a backup to having to get the timing down with the playmakers in this offense?
No, I mean, we're in week 11, and I throw to those guys on the side or routes on air every single day. So I don't think it's that big a deal.
With that being said, and watching the Lions 2 weeks ago when you guys played them, what did you see in their defense and how can you be successful?
Yeah, I mean, they're really good up front. First and foremost, that's where it starts with them. Obviously, and really good at linebacker. Those guys are heavy hitters in there. So we're going to have our work cut out for us, regardless of what happens. And, it's going to be a tough test for a short week at their place. They're coming off a win against a really good Carolina Panthers team, and they played pretty well on defense. So watching that game on film, that you could tell they're going to bring some issues for us for sure. Fine. I think he's just going about it week to week, see how his arm feels, and moving on from there.
Did you know he was hurt?
I didn't necessarily know he was hurt. I mean, I know that it was a very late hit. It's something that I don't think should have happened. It's sort of crazy how it happened. It shouldn't have happened like that. But when he got up sort of holding his shoulder, obviously in your mind as a backup, you start throwing the football just to be ready, just in case. But, I think it's feeling better as the week progresses. So whatever happens, I'll be ready. He'll be ready if that's the case as well.
Chase, we talked to Mitch a lot about his growing comfort in the offense, his expertise. And you say you've obviously been an interview much longer. How often is he asking you questions about the offense where the answer comes very easily to you? And, as we think toward the game, maybe some of this stuff comes naturally.
Yeah, a lot. Listen, Mitch and I have a really good relationship both on and off the field in the classroom as well. So he leans on me pretty heavily week to week just on maybe new plays that we've had that he hasn't repped. Obviously, from a repetition standpoint, I've just, being in the offense for 5 years, gotten a lot more reps of that. So maybe something that I can see that Coach Nags wouldn't necessarily say in install. that I can just give him hints and tips like that. But yeah, I mean, we lean pretty heavily on each other. We have a really good relationship.
It requires so much patience all the time. You're behind the scenes most of the time. What are your emotions when the opportunities do come to get out there and throw it around?
You know, like I said for the first question, for me, it's the same every week, right? Try to stay even keel. I prepare like a starter every week. So I'm never surprised if the situation were to come, whether it's in the game, whether it's a starter gets hurt and you have a whole week to prepare, whether it's a short week, whatever that is. I've been around long enough that, listen, I understand opportunities don't come very often, but if they do, you got to take advantage of them.
Do you feel like this group operating on such a short week, such a unique time, will be prepared really well because the way Nagy plans ahead?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we had three division games in 11 days. I think we had 88 hours from the end of our game to the next game. That's unprecedented. I don't think it's ever really happened before. But, you know, the whole motto for us is no excuses, let's roll this week. So, obviously, short week makes it shorter traveling up there. 11:30 a.m. start Central Time, a little bit earlier. But we'll be ready to go. You know, we're pretty healthy right now. So we can just continue to roll, play good defense, play good offense, and go out there and roll.
So, Johns, what I took away from that conversation with Chase Daniel today is that he is extremely confident that he can go out there and play well. I like that he understands his role in this organization right now. And while there is such a small sample size in his career, and he has not even thrown a pass since 2016, it was a 16-yard completion with the Philadelphia Eagles. And in 2015, he threw the ball twice. He really has not played in a real game since 2014. That's a long time ago. And that matters here. But I still think, given this offense and his knowledge of this offense, he understands that this is all about getting the ball in the hands of the playmakers. It's the same thing that Trubisky does for the most part. I still think the Bears can move the ball against the Lions on Thursday.
Yeah. Look, I get that Ford Field's not the easiest place for Chase Daniel to throw his first pass in 2 years, but I don't expect it to be all that rowdy. It's Thanksgiving. The Lions aren't very good. They're the same old Lions in my book, just with a different coach who doesn't like slouching in his press conferences. It's just, look, he's everything you expect and need from, like, your veteran quarterback, right? Like, your veteran backup. He's there for the young starter, and he's good enough to fill in a pinch, right? And this is what the Bears are in. They're in a tight week. It's a pinched week, if you get what I'm saying. They need a guy to step in, and he's the perfect guy to do it. I think just in terms of just how familiar he is with Nagy's offense, how familiar he is now with all the weapons around Trubisky, and just the comfort that Nagy has with those weapons too. Look, is it going to be perfect? No. Is it going to be a tight game? It should be, because he's not Mitch Trubisky, but he should still be able to make enough plays by getting the ball into actually his playmakers' hands against the Lions. You know, the Bears should still win. That's what I'm getting at with Chase Daniel at quarterback.
Well, and he did deliver that outstanding video in training camp where he went undercover.
Yes. If the Chiefs game is not his highlight of camp in the preseason, that's definitely it when he's pretending to be a fan.
Hey, before we actually get into our predictions for Thursday, there was one other conversation I had planned for this week before this whole Trubisky thing happened, and I still want to talk about it because of what happened last night in the Monday night game between the Rams and the Chiefs, which, holy crap, that was so fun to watch. I mean, what an outstanding, entertaining football game. I get that, you know, people are complaining about the defense. I'm actually
one of those guys, I think, Adam. Like,
hear me out. I disagree. I thought there was good pass rush the entire game. The quarterbacks were making plays. The secondary were awful. I'll give you that. The DBs were terrible. But there was plays being made up front. The line play was fun to watch. There was three defensive touchdowns in the game.
No, I get it. As a former defensive back.
Okay.
To see guys running that wide open, even like the Tyreek Hill touchdown pass, the long one, right? Obviously, something wrong happened. Obviously, someone fell, and you saw the end zone view. I think who was it? Sam Shields.
Oh, he fell down. He tripped. That happens.
Can I say something too? They moved that game out of Mexico City because of field conditions. That field looked awful, by the way.
Yeah.
In LA. Did it not? Not much better job there, boys.
Well,
LA.
They play a lot of games there on that field, and there's gonna be another game Saturday, Notre Dame and USC.
It's going to be a slap fest, I guess. But look, I get it. I don't know. I'm with Vic Fangio on this. You like to see tighter coverage. You like to see more contested catches. I mean, as impressive as Patrick Mahomes was in that game, I mean, a lot of his guys are wide open because of blown coverages, because guys falling down. The guy had five turnovers in that game, Adam. Five turnovers. And he still put up these crazy numbers because the defense was so bad. Yes, Aaron Donald was phenomenal. Yes, Jared Goff got sacked and stripped a couple times. And look, I don't know. I get the pass rush look nice, but I prefer to see a more balanced game just in terms of, you know, defensive play.
Well, here. Because this is what I was going to get at, though. Because I think you could, because everyone was watching this game going, oh, this is a great preview for the Super Bowl. And I'm actually looking at this game and I'm going, I cannot wait until the Bears defense plays the Rams in a few weeks. Because I think we can also look at that game last night and say the Bears clearly, in fact, maybe out of all the units on the field, and I'm including the Rams offense and Chiefs offense in this, the Bears defense might be the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And look, recent history has shown that defense can still win you championships. The Seahawks, let's not forget them.
I think I think that's why the Eagles won last year, despite having Nick Foles in there.
And I get that Super Bowl last year was a high-scoring affair, too. There's over 1,000 yards of scrimmage gain in that game as well, Adam. But you know what? The Eagles still had one of the top two or three defenses in all the league.
Well, and that's what got them there. That's what I was saying.
Yeah. That's good point. And the Denver Broncos. Look, Peyton Manning did not win the Denver Broncos that Super Bowl a few years ago.
No.
Von Miller and Brandon Marshall and DeMarcus Ware won that Super Bowl by pounding the crap out of the MVP, the offensive MVP, and Cam Newton. So defense can still win you titles. So I get it. It's a sexy game, if you want to call it that. It was good to see two young quarterbacks go at it, but I just think things balance out when you have actually a true, legitimate defense contesting you, battling you at all three levels of the defense, and that's what the Bears have. Obviously, the Rams don't have that. Obviously, the Chiefs don't have that. Maybe the Saints have that to a certain extent. Maybe the Patriots have that to a certain extent, but look at the stats on the Bears defense. It's the best in the league. That's why, Rams at Soldier Field in a few weeks, it's going to be a good test for the Bears defense.
Well, here, because I want to make this a longer segment, but we'll just do it very quickly. I want to play a game of Bears versus blank. Bears versus Chiefs. And let's, under the assumption that Mitch Trubisky's healthy, okay, let's not make that a whole deal here. But Mitch, Bears versus Chiefs, if they were playing today with Mitch being healthy, who you got?
Well, where are they playing?
Well, that's a good question, too. Well, I guess this would be in the Super Bowl. Okay. Because it would have to be because it's the Chiefs. It would have to be the, you know, a neutral site.
Okay, so if that's the scenario, your version of a capothetical, a hogothetical, if you want to call it that, I may have to go Bears. I don't want to sound like a complete homer pick here, but like if the Bears are playing in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, a few things have happened. One, Trubisky has developed. He's gotten better to a point where he's probably winning you a few games by himself, you know, in key moments, two-minute drills, all sorts of things, right? That the defense is continuing to roll on all cylinders, and there's kind of be all sorts of good vibes happening in terms of health, chemistry, all that. I may even take the Bears in that. I'll be honest with you. I know Patrick Mahomes is special, but I mean, he threw a couple of interceptions. You know, he had some bad awareness in the pocket against the Rams. And I do think defense, I know it's a cliche, but I do believe that defense wins championships. I really believe that.
I agree with you there. I think because I think the Bears defense would be the best unit on the field. And I also mentioned this tweet from Lewis Riddick, who's an outstanding analyst for ESPN. He should be in that Monday night booth instead of what's actually happening there, which we don't even need. We don't even need to get into that. But he had a great tweet earlier. He said, Bears do some very good things in their two safety high coverage schemes in terms of disguise and matchup zone / man coverage schemes that make them a very good matchup versus high-powered passing attacks with a lot of different backfield actions / window dressing / play action. A lot of football words in there. But essentially, he's saying the Bears' defense, this scheme is a good matchup against some of these high-powered offenses. And he then said, hashtag Rams week 14. So people are already looking forward to that game. And also, I mean, really what settles this against the Chiefs, at least, is that Chase Daniel beat the starters in the preseason. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Right? That's what I was going
Okay, very quickly, because we got to get going here. But Bears versus Rams. This, let's say this game is being played in the Coliseum, though, because I think after the Rams won that game last night, that's probably where this would end up getting played in the playoffs.
All right, so it's the same scenario again to me. I'll be honest. That means a lot of things have fallen in place with the Bears. If they're meeting them, say, in the NFC Championship, would that be the situation here?
Yeah, or in the divisional play. One, I mean, they're going to have to play. Well, I mean, it doesn't matter. In the playoffs, on the road, yeah.
All right, then all right, maybe give me the Rams in a tight one, but I'll tell you this. I was not impressed by the pocket awareness by Jared Goff or Patrick Mahomes in that game in certain situations. They made some exceptional throws, do not get me wrong, but they took a lot of hits. They had some errant throws as well. So I'm just saying that, you know, you play a good defense that's not allowing receivers to get wide open. They could have some problems against legitimate defense like the Bears. That's all.
So. All right, I would agree with you there. Well, actually, I think I might actually take the Bears, but we're gonna find out in a couple weeks how those two teams match up better on Sunday Night Football. The one though, where I would take the other team at this point, Bears versus Saints in the Superdome in an NFC Championship game or divisional round game, I would go with the Saints there. In that situation, because I do think their defense has been playing at a high enough level that it would be tough to win. If that game's being played at Soldier Field, it's different. But I think on the road at Superdome at this point, I would take the Saints.
That's fair enough. Tough place to play. A lot different than the Coliseum. Even Arrowhead isn't the same. It's just so loud there. I mean, I know Arrowhead gets loud, but the Superdome is just different. It's a different animal, especially going against a quarterback like that.
Fun to be having these conversations, though, I will say. It's pretty crazy. But the Bears have played themselves into this position. And you know what? Had the Chiefs won last night, they would have had a chance. And maybe, you know, we'll see how the season plays out. But that would have put them in a position potentially in a couple weeks to actually have a shot to overtake the Rams for a first-round bye, but that seems like it'll be tough now. Let's concentrate on the game at hand, though. Thursday, Thanksgiving in Detroit. It is an 11:30 kickoff Central Time, 12:30 in Detroit. This is the game on – this is the CBS game, isn't it? It's Jim Nance and Tony Romo
on the
call. And right now – and this line has been very interesting to me. Even right now, the Bears are 3-point favorites at the Westgate Las Vegas. Bovada still has them as 4.5-point favorites. This line opened up at 3. It moved up to 4.5, and then it's trickled back downward with the Trubisky news coming out. What I find very interesting, I was texting with our guy Sam Panionovich, who works for VSiN out in Las Vegas earlier, really just about an hour ago. None of these books have taken this off the board, which sometimes happens when there's a significant quarterback injury. And according to Panionovich, if Chase Daniel does start this game, the books will move it to a pick'em. So there will be a swing, but I find it fascinating that there hasn't been a bigger swing yet, especially since, I don't know, my takeaway today and yours, it sounds like, is that our guess is that he won't play.
Yeah. I think... Part of that probably speaks to the faith in what the Bears got going with their defense. I get things change with Chase Daniel, but look, the Bears are – this is sound like another goofy thing to say. I mean, they're back, man. They're legitimate. You can have better conversations about them now. I mean, the conversation about them has changed. You know, they've been favored in a lot of games this year. It's different. They are different.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about this. I mean, this is a game that if you're legitimate, one of the best teams in the league, all those things I brought up on Sunday's podcast, that set up this game to be a letdown, you overcome that and you still win. So here's my big question for this game. And we could talk about the quarterbacks, but I still think it comes down to the Bears' defense, Johnsy. Do they come to play? Do they still have that intensity given the natural human nature drop-off from the high of Sunday night and everything that went into that game, the quick turnaround? It's just would be natural for that to happen, for them not to be quite as sharp, to be not as quite on top of their game defensively, maybe a missed tackle here or there, whatever. Maybe a breakdown in coverage here or there. I don't know. I just think it would not surprise me. So does that happen? Or does the fact that you're playing on Thanksgiving, that the eyes are, of the country are still on you, and maybe the fact that you don't have your starting quarterback galvanizes this defense and they continue to play at the same level they have been? That's my big question in this game. Because if that happens, I don't care who's playing quarterback. The Bears will still win.
Yeah, my biggest question definitely has to deal with the quarterback situation. And we already discussed that at length. Just to comment on what you were saying, look, I think Vic Fangio has been pushing the right buttons since the Patriots game and the Dolphins game. He really has. A lot of that has helped. It's actually helped, I believe, that Khalil Mack was lost for two games. I think a lot of those guys in that locker room realized, you know what, we're still a pretty darn good defense without Khalil Mack, and they continue to prove it. They're even better with Khalil Mack. I think you're right in believing that they will rally if Trubisky is down. But you know what? There's a lot of other things that Vic Fangio can point to. It's all the fourth quarter problems they've been having. You know what, guys? You're the best defense in the league. Let's not have those fourth quarter problems anymore. You know what, Roquan Smith? You think you're one of the best young linebackers in the league? You cannot miss a tackle on Stephon Diggs over the middle and allow a 25-yard gain. So there's a lot of collective things I think Vic Fangio can point to, and there's a lot of individual things that Vic Fangio can point to for this game. I think he's pushing a lot of the right buttons right now. I don't think a letdown is coming from that defense whatsoever.
And, by the way, this coaching staff, it's great to bring that up because Matt Nagy seems like a coach that's not going to let this stuff happen, which we're still kind of getting to know him a little bit, but you just sort of get that vibe that he is going to – I hate to say the B word because I'm not – by any means am I comparing him to Bill Belichick at this point. But you know what I mean. One of these no-nonsense guys that is just – they're going to run this program a certain way where there's expectations every single week, and that doesn't mean that there's not going to be slip-ups here and there, but – he's going to do everything in his power to make sure that they are focused on Thursday is what I'm trying to get at.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think Vic Fangio, again, is a big part of that. Big part of that.
Yeah. All right.
Bold predictions.
It's pretty clear that Khalil Mack loves playing in these nationally televised games. And this is another one. Spotlights on the defense. I'm going to say he gets two sacks, forces another takeaway, whether it's a forced fumble or interception, doesn't matter. He will force another takeaway for this defense. And one of them, I guess I'm only saying one, but he will force a takeaway that directly leads to a touchdown for the defense. So that's a lot of things in there. But two sacks and a takeaway that is returned for a touchdown, whether it's him or someone else doing it off of something that he did to force it.
Okay. I think kind of lost in all the hoopla of the defense's outstanding performance against the Vikings. Akeem Hicks was great. Eddie Jackson had a great pick six. You know, Khalil Mack, like you said, was Khalil Mack in national television again. But Adrian Amos made an interception. And it wasn't the most impressive interception by any means. It was an overthrown ball by Kirk Cousins. But he's in the right place at the right time. Here's my bold prediction. It may be the most boring of bold predictions, I guess, in a sense. But I think Adrian Amos has back-to-back weeks of interceptions. And okay. I think it's going to be a big one against the Lions. That's my feeling. He makes a huge interception, whether it's a pick six or whether it's in the red zone again. But I think he makes a big-time, perfect-time takeaway for the Bears defense.
You know what we did here, Johnsy? We set up a scenario that we could both nail our bold predictions on the same play.
Ooh, a Stafford tip pass by Mack right to Adrian Amos for a pick six?
That's what I'm talking about.
And there is the boldest of all Hogan John's predictions right there, a double whammy.
it'd be pretty cool. I thought for sure you were going to say that this is the game Jordan Howard goes over 100 yards.
Nah, he's not that's not happening. Okay. He might get like 94, but what? Tariq Cohen's going to have like 30 yards rushing, and Chase Daniel's going to run it for 20.
We shouldn't gloss over that, though. This is the 22nd ranked rushing defense, and the Bears did not run the football well a couple weeks ago. And if Chase Daniel's in there, they're going to need the running game in this game. So they got to do a better job this week than they did against the Lions 2 weeks ago.
Absolutely, absolutely. But you know what? Adam, they didn't have to run the ball last time they placed the line, no. faced the Lions.
No, but Darius Slay might play this time. That makes a huge difference in the secondary. I mean, Slay playing and Trubisky not playing, that's enough to equalize a lot of the nonsense that happened. It's
I get you. Give me the Bears' weapons still against that secondary, though.
All right. Predictions. I want to hear yours first.
I'm in for 27-20 Bears. I made the pick before I came to the conclusion that Trubisky shouldn't play. I mean, it's my pick for the Sun Times, and I think I'm going to stand by it. I just don't think the Lions' offense is a match, especially being down Marvin Jones and Kerryon Johnson. They don't match up well with the Bears' defense. It all favors Khalil Mack and company. I think it's going to be another great day for them. Yeah, so give me the Bears.
Here's a random question I just thought about thinking of, you know, because I'm trying to think of scores now as I come up with my prediction. Does Matt Nagy go for two this week? And Trubisky potentially not being out there, how does that impact that?
No. I don't think he does.
Huh. Maybe they'll just run Willy Wonka the whole game where Trubisky's out there, but he's not throwing the ball.
This is the week, Adam. They unload the plays with Eddie Jackson and Bryce Callahan,
right?
and they run that quick screen out of the diamond formation.
Maybe it is.
With Akeem Hicks and Roy Robertson O'Hara is leading the way for Tariq Cohen. This is the week.
Okay. I'm going to say Bears 20, Lions 17. I think they pull it out because of their defense. I think they play well enough to win. I think there's corrections both ways that make this a lot closer than it was a couple weeks ago. And that I was going to do this whether Trubisky was playing or not. I think it's going to be a tighter game. The Lions love playing on Thanksgiving. It means a lot to the Ford family. There's some pride on the line there. They're going to be seeking revenge from that embarrassing performance. Just when we did our conference call with Matt Patricia earlier today, you could tell he was kind of disgusted when the game was even brought up to him. So I think there's going to be some correction, but these are the games that if you're a legitimate football team, and I think the Bears proved themselves on Sunday night to be that, that you still find a way to win in a big game. And, you know, it'd be very significant to go 3-0 in this stretch of three straight divisional games. That'd be a very big accomplishment.
It'd be immensely impressive. It really would be. It'd just be so different, Adam, of what we experienced last year. Just so different.
No question. And by the way, if they do lose, the sky should not be falling by any means. This is certainly one that you hope that they figure out. By the way, let me – I didn't have it pulled up this second. Joe Romano not with us live, but he did email his picks into us. So I want to make sure I share that from our
Joe
guy.
Joe is sleeping right now if you missed the early part of the podcast. He's got his Michigan jammies on. You know, he's got his Michigan –
You're right. So here's where – he actually gave us analysis, so I'll read it to you. This is from our guy, Joey Joro. Obviously, I'd feel a lot more comfortable knowing MT10's status, but honestly, I feel like Daniel can get the job done for a week or two if Trubisky needs time to get healthy. The defense is playing great. Take away Galladay, and it will be a long day for Stafford. Bears 24, Lions 10. He's usually the negative one with our picks. He's got them winning by 14.
Yeah, he's coming around. He's coming around. Everybody seems to be coming around in this town now, Adam.
That's right. All right. We're not going to go through all of, you know, the same amount of picks we usually do because it's only Tuesday and all of our focus has been on the Bears game. But we will pick the other Thanksgiving games for you. Hope everyone enjoys their Thanksgiving, being able to watch these games. And it's one of the best days of the year. I love Thanksgiving so much. And so it'll be fun to watch these other football games. How about the Dallas Cowboys? all of a sudden they're in position to kind of take control of the NFC East here. You got Alex Smith go down for Washington, and now Washington has to go to Dallas on Thanksgiving. This spread opened up at, I believe it was, 5.5. Cowboys 5.5. It's up to 7.5. A lot of confidence in the Cowboys here on Thanksgiving.
That division is garbage. Can I just make that clear? Absolute garbage. And with all due respect, what the Redskins are doing with Alex Smith, were you seriously considering them as a contender come the playoff time?
No. They have. They're like the Bills or the Titans last year. They're in, but they might win a game. They might not. But they're not going to win the Super Bowl. Either of these teams.
No.
In fact, the Cowboys are doing just enough not to get Jason Garrett fired, which I think most Cowboy fans are probably annoyed by.
Yes. Well, yeah, I don't get it. Young quarterback. Anyway, here's my pick, Adam. The Cowboys. I don't think the Redskins are going to recover from this anytime soon. I know they got a good defense, a very opportunistic defense. They pick off a lot of passes, and Dak Prescott isn't what everybody thought he was a couple of years ago. But still give me the Cowboys at home.
Yeah, I don't like this at all. Prescott didn't even play that well the other day, but this Redskins situation, Colt McCoy, honestly, they should have signed Kaepernick this week is what they should have done. I don't like it at all. 7.5 is a ton. You know what? In fact, I can't do it just because 7.5 is so much. I'm going to pick the Redskins to cover. Cowboys win. Washington covers barely. And this is not a great game. That's my analysis on that one.
Well done.
Yeah.
I believe well done is well said. Is that how the saying goes?
Yeah, something like that.
I think well done would be well said.
Exactly. All right.
I don't think it's healthy that I remember his lines, though. It's not.
Siesta.
That's what Joe's doing right now, but we're still giving you his picks. Here's what Joe Rowe had to say about the Washington at Dallas game. I've been down on Dallas all season, but the acquisition of Amari Cooper, has made them a threat to win the division, which I believe Adam Johns just called garbage. Despite overpaying for him, not as confident in McCoy getting ready on short rest as I am with Chase Daniel. I'd say something positive about Zeke, but it's Ohio State week, and I'd rather not vomit after sending this. We should be picking the Michigan-Ohio State game. Maybe we'll do that at the end. And then we drop the ball if we didn't get I think we know who Joe would have picked in that game anyway. Anyway, he is taking Dallas. Yeah, he's taking Dallas. 7.5. Fair enough. All right, we move on. Last game of the night, the prime time game on Thanksgiving. It is Atlanta going to New Orleans. I think you're going to see a lot of points in this game. The Saints, can you come up with a spread that they cannot cover at this point? 13.5 point favorites. And honestly, I can't think of a reason why they won't cover that.
No, it's going to be another route. The Falcons, their defense is not good. It's not. I don't know what is happening. I always thought they had some young talent on their defense. It's not too far removed from going to the Super Bowl with Dan Quinn. You know, the defensive-minded head coach came from Seattle. Matt Ryan's having a good year. I don't know what's going on down there. But no one is stopping the Saints at this point. I have seen no sign of any team being able to do that. May not happen all the way into the playoffs, even if that happens. So give me the Saints in another route, covering that. You said 13.5, covering that 13.5.
Yeah, and New Orleans is 5-0 against the spread in their last five games. They're covering everything. And you're right. I don't think the spread, it should probably be bigger, which probably means it'll go the opposite way, but because that's how this thing works. But anyway, here's Joey Joe Rowe. He says, "Looks like I'm having turkey with a side of chalk because I'm going."
I love that he puts so much thought into this. Right? Thank you, Joe. These are great.
He's the absolute best.
See, I got this friend named Joey Jojo Junior Shabadoo?
That's the worst name I ever heard.
Oh, no. Hey, Joey Jojo!
So he says, looking like I'm having turkey with a side of chalk because I'm going all favorites. You could basically replay what I said last week about New Orleans. The offense is rolling, and Atlanta hasn't shown that they can keep up. The Falcons would need to force turnovers, which Breeze and the Saints haven't done much of this year. Who dat in a rout? And I'm just going to put him down for Michigan in the Michigan-Ohio State game. Fair enough.
Actually, you know, for a guy who had become an Ohio State fan and myself, I don't like what they got going on. I really don't. Give me the Wolverines. If we're picking this game, I don't even know what the spread is, but give me the Wolverines.
Yeah, I was just going to try to find that. See if I can come up with it real quick here. I believe it was somewhere around 3. As I do a search for Michigan, and Eastern Michigan comes up, Western Michigan comes up, Southeast Michigan comes up. All right, Michigan, Ohio State. It is at 4.5 right now. Michigan favored by 4.5 in a place they have not won since 2000. I think this game's going to be close, Johnsy, just because it's a rivalry game. The Buckeyes still have a ton of talent. They're fast as hell. Michigan has not proven that they can beat Ohio State, so I'm going to take the Buckeyes here to cover. I still think Michigan probably pulls it out, though, and wins the football game. You know, it really doesn't matter because whoever wins this game is just going to lose to Northwestern next week in the Big Ten Championship. So, you know, it's just...
I like the optimism.
Right?
Love the optimism. You know what, though? The Cats, I feel like this, in a sense, for as how... Look, they've had some really bad losses this year, but played some very great football, especially in conference games. This could be their year. I've been really high on them. You know that, Adam. I've picked them when you have picked against them, same with Joey Jojo. They're going places this year. I'm telling you, they're going to win the Big Ten title. You heard it here already. They're winning the Big Ten title.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a lot of fun next week. I'm looking forward to it. So. We'll see what happens at Michigan-Ohio State game first. The winner of that game goes on to the Big Ten Championship game to play Northwestern. Northwestern has Illinois this week. I honestly don't know the spread, but it's a game that Northwestern should handle pretty easily at home. All right, we need to get out of here, Johnsy. I hope you enjoy Detroit.
I'll be thinking of you, my friend.
I hope you
Not
do.
Really.
I hope you do. I'll actually be in the North Woods of Wisconsin. So this is the part of the podcast where I deliver the bad news. I do not think we're going to have a post-game podcast on Thursday. We've talked about it endlessly. We've tried to come up with so many different scenarios that we could do it. But for various reasons, I'm not going to be in Detroit, and I just don't think there's a way to pull it off. So maybe there'll be a 5% chance a surprise podcast pops up on Friday, but I don't think it's going to happen. So
that's why we have that Tuesday podcast now.
That's right, and we'll come back early next week with another one or something over the weekend. We'll figure it out. So, anyways, our apologies for that. Hope everybody enjoys their Thanksgiving. Johnsy will still be there in Detroit. I'll still be, you know, watching the game very closely. So follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. You can read us, WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Thanksgiving, Bears Lions. Hope everybody enjoys the game. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Eat lots of food. Enjoy the football. And we'll talk to you sometime soon.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And that is a clean pick by Kurt Fuller.